The Ticonderoga Festival Guild's We Are Instrumental program will host a summer-long musical instrument drive to benefit elementary school students in the North Country. The drive will accept gently used band and string instruments beginning Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day weekend. When musician Evan Mack's son came home from band practice and told him most of his classmates were playing in instruments that were bruised, battered, and bonded together with duct tape, the senior teaching professor of music at Skidmore College was stunned. He also learned that many students could not afford to rent musical instruments. So, We Are Instrumental was born. To tell us more, we welcome our good friend Evan Mack to the round table. Good morning, sir. How are you? Good to hear your voice once again.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Always good to have you on the program. So give us a sense. I told the brief story here, but how has this really grown and begun and the necessity of it, really, of bringing these band instruments and orchestra instruments in?
Yeah, it was quite eye-opening. We moved to the area, and when my son came home, he noted this issue, and I thought, this can't be right, because, you know, they are successful music programs up here, and they're doing, you know, really great work, but then you realize that they're doing it at a disadvantage because they're playing on busted instruments, and I thought, we have to fix this, because I know so many people who have these wonderful instruments collecting dust in their closet. So it actually started in early 2020, before the world shut down, where we held an instrument drive at Skidmore College and collected 70 instruments who were valued at about $30,000. And it transformed the entire inventory of the Ticonderoga school system. And now students are playing on instruments that fully function. You know, it's hard enough to get a student to practice and focus on the instrument. You can imagine if the instrument keeps breaking down. So now they don't have that barrier to educational access. And so we're now expanding it to three schools in the area, because I realized as soon as we fixed Ticonderoga's inventory, I realized that this problem affects the entire North Country.
So what is fascinating, I guess one of the things that drives a lot of this is that instruments are expensive, right? I mean, that's a difficult thing. You want to provide them for kids. They may or may not stick with it, but they are expensive.
Right. They're expensive, and they're expensive to rent. And so when students can't rent them, the onus is put on the school to have a music program. So when an instrument gets dinged or needs a repair, sometimes those repairs sit for quite some time. So part of the instrument collection idea, this instrument drive, is to get working instruments again in their inventory, categorizing them in ready to play, minor repairs, or complete overhauls, and then working with Bill Cole's Woodwind Shop in Saratoga, as well as raising money to train band directors in instrument repair. So it makes this new collection up here sustainable, and actually turns the problem into advantage, because we're now having workshops with the Ticonderoga students where they're learning instrument repair, so they can fix a French horn while they're learning how to play the French horn.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good part of this, too. You know, when I was a kid, and I don't remember exactly how old I was, but in my mind, 11, 12 years old, and I was, I think when I was 3, 4 years old, I started playing the violin. And I went to my instructor. It was not in school. It was a private instruction. But I went every day, or, you know, every twice a week, and had the lessons and would practice every day. So one day I put my violin on my bed, and I laid it down on my bed, and then I was walking over to the other part of the room. And now, for reasons that I will tell, that I don't really want to get into, but I don't really know the reason why, but I tripped over a cannonball, Evan. I don't know why I tripped over a cannonball. I don't know why there was a cannonball in the house. I wish I had a reason for you, but I swear to God, I tripped over a cannonball.
That's great.
We didn't have any, like, real, like, I didn't come from a militaristic family, but for some reason, yeah, in my room there was a cannonball.
And somehow, I bet the fiddle was the casualty. No?
Oh, my God. My whole body just slammed it, and the thing just pulverized. I mean,
right,
the only thing that was left was the neck, a string, like two pegs. That was it. The rest of it just like it looked like it had been shot by a cannon, which I guess essentially it had been. And then that, you know, that sets in the whole thing of like, well, now what do you do? You know, how do you get this thing fixed? It's going to be very expensive and all of that. And my goodness, it turned out to be horrendous of getting it repaired. But my point is that, you know, kids, whether they have artillery in their room or not, things happen.
Right. And absolutely, these things happen. And they try, you know, we have musical instruments in my house, and you think, oh, my children understand, you know, instruments and respect it. And, you know, they lay it on the bed and boom, it falls. Yeah. There's a chip and there's a crack. Yep. And so if you have the means to, you know, take it somewhere to fix it, it's not just means, it's also convenience. So, you know, the nearest, in certain parts of the Adirondacks, the nearest music store is 2 hours away. So now you're dealing with not only a financial burden, but a transportation issue and timing and logistics. And so this, you know, so it makes sense why the schools have this, you know, these inventory, but you want to make sure that everything's kind of up and running and going so that when students are ready to practice and play, it's not this thing that's bound together with rubber bands and duct tape. It's actually things that function and sound wonderfully.
When it comes to the drive itself, how are you running it, and how can people get the instruments to you? And of course, what we're doing is getting the word out that if you have instruments laying around, that this could be something that could be of great use.
Right. So the advantage we have up here is that our population triples in the summer, and a lot of vacationers come from the Capital District. So when you're tying on your boats and your canoe, you could throw your trumpet or flute in the back seat. You can drop it off as anywhere as south as the Silver Bay YMCA. And we partnered also with 10 libraries in the Adirondacks. So depending on where you vacation, you can drop them off at a library, and then they will transport it to the Ticonderoga Library, which is our central place to then assess the instruments collected and then deliver them to the schools that we've selected. So we're building this infrastructure in place. If that also sounds inconvenient, they can easily connect through evanmack.com. They can hear more about the program at evanmack.com/weareinstrumental to see which libraries are offering that up. But we're trying to make it easy for people to, you know, just make us our last thought when you're packing up the car to come up here for the day or for the week or for the summer, to bring an instrument, because the instrument doesn't do anybody any good sitting in the closet, but it does a really great amount of good when it's in the hands of a child ready to play.
Do you have specific needs, meaning that you need flutes more than anything else, or there's certain instruments that are on the list that are of real value and necessity?
Yeah, great question. So we found that a couple things to answer that. We said band instruments because it's mostly band programs here, and strings because we have a few string programs. We don't really have room for drums or pianos. They're just too big to figure out and store. But what I find is that there are bigger ticket items or bigger instruments, so a barry sax, a tuba, euphonium. But even if you have a flute, you know, and you think, oh, well, it's still pretty banged up or whatever, we have things in place to fix it. But we also have the ability to, if we get 10 flutes and 7 of them are great and 3 need a complete overhaul, it might not be worth the complete overhaul. But what we could do, you know, because we couldn't afford to repair it, but we have partnerships where we could trade those 3 flutes in for a bigger, more expensive item. So we know we have, in need of a barry sax or a bassoon. And you may not have a barry sax, but if that flute, everything has value no matter what state it's in and no matter what instrument's in. We have designed a way to make it fit the needs of the schools that we're targeting and also help fill out their inventory.
You know, one of the things that I remember from being a kid was that, and I played, you know, still play, but I played the violin. And as you grow up, you outgrow your instrument too. And that's a thing too, where like, oh, you have to be refitted, which, so I assume anything of many different instruments fall into that category of sometimes you just need an upgrade.
Right. I agree. Yeah. So there's, you know, and there are things that you also hold on to for, you know, sentimental reasons, or say, oh, one day my kid will play that. And I, as a pianist, know that neither of my children play piano. They run from it. You know,
yeah.
So if you think, oh, grandpa played the trombone, you'll play it, that's not going to happen. So I know that, you know, if it's sitting there, it's also, by the way, if it's collecting dust, you know, it's not great for the instrument, just like things. It needs to be kind of tended to and put to use. So the goal is to get these things to be put to use, you know. And back to your earlier point, I have a war story where I had a mouthpiece of my French horn when I was playing stuck in the bell. It like hopped out on the bus and got stuck in, and they had to saw off the French horn. But I got to tell you, when people like Bill Cole in Saratoga fix it, they know how to fix it. It was like brand new. So
what happened? You were getting off the bus. What happened now?
Yeah. So it was, I loosely, like a, you know, typical fourth grader, I put the French horn away nice, but I just kind of threw the mouthpiece in the case.
Yeah.
And when I was transporting it, the vibrations enough, it traveled in the case and went into the bell. So I opened up my French horn and go, well, I can't play in today's concert. I don't know where my mouthpiece is. So then I borrow the mouthpiece, or another mouthpiece, you know, from the teacher, and I go to blow in it, and it's completely jammed in. So they had to saw the bell off, you know.
You had to do a C-section.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to tell you, I had this beautiful French horn when it was back. You would have never known, you know, a couple weeks later.
This just seems lovely, and it seems like it's something that that people would be into. Because I think a lot of people, when they have, as you said, you talked about sentiment, being sentimental about something, where you think, oh, that's, you know, this would be nice to hold on to. But to also know that somebody's going to get use out of it, and it's going to be cared for, and somebody is going to perhaps go on and have that joy of music in their life, that's a lovely thing to think about as well.
Right, absolutely. And I would just add also that all of the instruments and the funding that we're raising, you know, we have a GoFundMe page. The money is going to supplies. It's going to training of band directors. It's all going back into supporting the programs and the music, because in a sense, you're not giving the instrument away. You're giving the gift of music, which is timeless. And so it's why you're holding that same feeling of why you're holding on to that clarinet. It's why you should give it away and have another kid experience that joy and wonder. And that's the gift that will continue on.
I would think the last year has been frightful for band and orchestra leaders in schools, because the kids were remote much of the time. And I don't even know how you'd do that.
Yeah. You know, a minor success story, actually, it's hard. I can't imagine, in terms of, you know, especially with, you know, you're considered a projectile, right, if you're blowing into an instrument and doing that. And I know a lot of schools went virtual. Some were able to keep their enrollments up, you know, as difficult as it was. But I'll tell you, one of the minor hopeful things was, because of the work we did last year pre-COVID with the collection, Ticonderoga was able to continue with their music program virtually, because each student had a practice instrument at home and then an instrument at school. And so because it was minimizing the transfer of sharing an instrument, or, you know, some people would say just same instrument, different mouthpiece, that all went away. But they had enough so that they could actually continue on during the pandemic. And so if they didn't have that program, I can't imagine how decimated it would have been, or limited. And so these kind of things, you know, that we're doing will make any kind of, you know, event, something like, say, there's a, you know, an issue with a recession and budget cuts and things like that. This helps. It increases the school budget because you're relying on less of a repair budget. It's creating inventory where students can do things at home. You know, virtual lessons might not go away, so it would be very nice if they have a nice school instrument and a practice instrument. That's right. Now increasing their access to music. So that's a wonderful thing, and I'm going to, you know, and the Tie Guild are going to continue on doing that and finding schools in the Adirondacks to benefit from this program.
Probably my final question to you, but what is the Ticonderoga Festival Guild? How did this all come together?
So they're a wonderful organization that promotes arts in the area and also arts in schools. And so when I really just started this program as a concerned father for a school district and wanted to make sure the school was going to be okay, and kind of help, they were wonderful to kind of adopt this program with me, and they're a wonderful nonprofit. And so they've been helping with fundraising. We've been working on grant writing together, and realizing that this, you know, arts in the schools requires making sure there's an infrastructure in place that you have that to begin with. And so that's where they were so excited to partner with me and adopt We Are Instrumental.
Well, the Ticonderoga Festival Guild's We Are Instrumental program is hosting a summer-long musical instrument drive to benefit elementary school students in the North Country. The drive will accept gently used band and string instruments beginning Memorial Day weekend, which is this coming weekend, to Labor Day weekend. I'm sure they'll take them whenever you want. But anyway, you can find out more information by going to Evan's website. It's evanmack.com/weareinstrumental. You can just do evanmack.com, but evanmack.com/weareinstrumental to find out more about the drive and the pickup spots and the libraries that are taking part in this as well. Evan, you're doing fine work for the North Country. I thank you very much for sharing it with us and hoping we can help out as much as possible.
Thanks. Always great to talk to you, and I appreciate you spreading the word. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, evanmack.com. For more information, you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.